Go ahead and call in, Mama. Go ahead and call in. All right. Yes, ma'am. Hi, I'm just waiting on someone to call in.
Hello?
I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Who am I talking to?
Miss Russ.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Please call me. All right, thank All right, everyone, you're listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. The guest today is Ms. Hazan. If I pronounce the name wrong, please forgive me if I pronounce the name wrong. She's calling in a couple of minutes or two. She's also with the Black Lawyers for Justice Foundation, organization. She's going to write on something going on. I'm forward to her talking to her. It's all the mystery, you will. Listening to her. Hello?
Hassane Muhammad, Black Lawyers.
Is he talking there?
I'm sorry?
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, Ms. Butler. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Correct me if I pronounce your name wrong. Is it Ms. Hazan?
Hassane.
Hazani. Okay, hi. This show talk with Angela Butler. It's good to have you on.
It's good to be on, Ms. Butler.
Yes, thank you. I was telling the people listening that you're with the Black Lawyers for Justice with Mr. Shabazz.
Yes, ma'am, I am.
And you're an attorney.
I have my JD. I'm actually preparing for the bar now. So, yes, I'm an attorney, but I'm not licensed yet. So I'm in the last stages.
excellent.
Yes.
I was watching Mr. Shabazz on YouTube. I was listening to him and watching him at South Carolina. Right person now.
I'm sorry, I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. I hope I'm coming in clear. Can you repeat?
Is this better?
I'm sorry?
Is this better?
Yes, could you repeat that, please, ma'am?
Yes, Mr. Shabazz, if I'm not mistaken, he was on YouTube, and he was in South Carolina where the murdered nuns were.
Yes, he has been in South Carolina twice, and he'll be back on the 17th. So, yes, we were there Actually, I stand corrected. We were there 3 times. Obviously, we came down when our brother Walter Scott was murdered.
Okay.
And then we came back when our 9 brothers and sisters were murdered by the terrorist that, you know, shot them down while they were in church. And then we made another stop in Charleston maybe a week after that, so.
Okay. Yeah. One of my questions will be, there's a lot of attention being given to the killings of black people, black youth, black men, and black females. Dylan Roof, the terrorist, murdered 9 people in Charleston, South Carolina. So, my question. What?
You're breaking up. I'm sorry.
Okay. Hold on.
And my question is, and then it.
My question is Dylan Roof and the criminal justice system. What is your opinion about the things that are going on here in the United States of America?
In terms of, well, I come from a couple of different backgrounds, so all those things inform me of what's going on in America. I was raised a Baptist, and I was taught about Moses and Pharaoh as a Christian. I became a Muslim follower of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in the Nation of Islam, and we were taught that at some point we are the prey that must be taken from the mighty, meaning that we are the ones that they are sucking the blood from. We are the oppressed, we are the despised and the rejected, but that one day God would come and he would take the bottom rail and make it the top rail. From an attorney's point of view, I'm seeing gross injustice and miscarriage of the Constitution. I'm seeing institutionalized racism and profiling that we are the victims of, and we don't even realize that we have a system at work against us. And to encompass it all, it can all be encompassed by one thing, and it's the mind of white supremacy. And that's what we are at war against. Dylan Roof executed a mind. The Confederate flag represents a mind. The cops who are stalking us and terrorizing us in our community represent a mind. And that mind is white supremacy and black inferiority. And that mind seeks to keep black people oppressed at all costs and actually hates black people and wishes to see us dead. That mind, unfortunately, also exists within us now because we've been under their tutelage and training for over 460 years.
So, if I'm understanding you correctly, we'll feel the same way in supremacy towards each other.
I'm sorry, are you breaking up again?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. What I'm asking is, basically saying, I hope I'm understanding you right and interpreting right, is that black people are doing some of the things to each other that white supremacists have given to us?
In terms of, yes, unfortunately, yes. But does that excuse what the police and the KKK and all of those have done to us? Absolutely not. But if there were no Dylan Roofs, Miss Butler, if there were no George Zimmermans, would there still be the killing of black men?
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Right. So while we want his death, Dylan Roof, for the death of our people, at the same time, we are at the point in time where if you are, as a black person, are killing us, you are also a traitor, and we need you to cease and desist immediately. would you, Miss Butler, feel any better by your child being murdered by a black man or a white man?
Sorry about them having a little technical problem. Can you help me? And we're hurting each other. Am I correct?
Yes, we are. We are hurting each other. And
but that doesn't give white supremacists the right to murder us like that.
Absolutely not. I mean, the only reason, like I said before, and how I was tying it together is, the only reason we're doing that is because of white supremacy. We would never, ever attack and hunt each other down like we do had we not been completely destroyed as a people by white supremacy, right?
Yes.
It's not natural for us to do this to each other. We didn't have this type of murderous violence in our history before they came on the planet. We just did not do this. So this is everything that you're seeing that is wrong with us is a manifestation of the hell that we've been under white supremacy.
I agree.
So they don't get a pass. No, I'm not letting them off the hook, but what I am saying is now that we are aware that we're at war, how are you going to be a soldier in an army and you killing other soldiers on your own team?
Okay, I understand what you're saying. Do you know anything about the mandatory sentencing law?
I do know about the mandatory sentencing laws, yes, ma'am. I do know that those were to take away some of the judicial discretion, meaning that they didn't want arbitrary, they say, see, there's two levels to this law thing. They'll say that it's for one reason, but really it was for the mass incarceration of black people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But on the face of it, they'll say, you know, there's mandatory minimums for possession of this amount of crack or this second-degree robbery or things like that. So the judges don't have any leeway to even be merciful if they want to. There's mandatory minimums and things like that. And so what it has done is ushered even more of our people into the private prison system, you know, and basically the prison system has single-handedly ruined the black family and the black community.
Yes, you are right. You're right about that. You are. The criminal justice system, and we both know, is that has a high incarceration of black people in the United States of America. According to statistics, we, out of all the free world countries and continents, have the highest prison percentage of anyone in the world.
That is true.
According to the census, maybe 13% of the American population. And America makes up 25-30% of the entire world's population. So that's the rest right there.
Yes, it is, and I believe that at least 1 in 3 black men have been either jailed or imprisoned or are on some sort of paperwork with the state or the government. So you're talking about, you know, 1 in 3 that they are counting as being caught up in some way with the system.
The women are not coming off easy. They're really not. The black women are not. Within the criminal justice system.
I'm sorry, I said that
the women, black women, not coming out easy either with the criminal justice system, because there's a lot of black women that are locked up.
Absolutely. I mean, they are, black women actually, the trend of incarcerating black women is growing, and I have to say this too, the police have murdered black women come up missing, black women are subjected to police brutality as well. Unfortunately, they don't always get the same amount of coverage, and that's something in our community we have to start dealing with, is the fact that black women's lives matter, black males' lives matter. We need each other, and we need to survive this attack that we're under. And so there has to be an outcry whenever our blood is shed, because our blood is precious.
So shouldn't we as a race of people be doing something before someone is killed? I mean, shouldn't we be active all the time? I mean, I understand the cameras and things, video recorders are recording police officers killing people, basically. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we should be vigilant all the time, really and truly.
Right, but if you are being attacked all the time, and if you're being murdered and your people are being beaten, murdered all the time, what is that called? And where you have to be vigilant and on post and on point and watching out for death is around every corner, what is that called?
Yes. Yeah.
You're at war.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, the harsh reality that our people don't want to face. They don't want to face the fact that we're at war. And so, unfortunately, when war has been declared on you and you refuse to accept it, you don't prepare for it. So every time it's like shock and awe. Now, if you realize you were at war, it wouldn't be shock and awe every time. You would know this is what is going to happen. There's going to be bloodshed. There's going to be back and forth. But right now there is no back and forth. We're just being slaughtered. See, that's the difference. We're being slaughtered because there is no response to the murder of our children and our women and our men. The only response, like you, when you sent me that article, is let's pray, let's sing, let's hold hands, and let's say kumbaya. Right?
Yes. I understand. So another question I would have to ask, do you feel that body cameras are going to change anything? I mean, there are already telephone recordings, people with smartphones or some type of cell phone that can record. And that's been shown, and still not in punished where the police are going to arrest someone, a black police officer involved.
I don't think that body cameras will make a difference, and let me tell you why. Like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan pointed out in the Eric Garner case, we saw that whole thing on video, whether it was body camera or not. We saw the entire event, even his death was on video. So will a videotape stop a cop from killing us? No. If that were the case, they wouldn't kill a black man every 28 hours. According to statistics, police kill a black man in this country every 28 hours. I just reposted on my Facebook page. You guys can find me on Facebook at Hassane, H-A-S-S-A-N-E, Muhammad. And I just posted on there that there's been 600 police murders since January. 600 people are dead due to police murder, and we are still in early July.
Okay. That's good, because this is July 11th.
Right. So when we say every 28 hours, it seems like that statistic is actually, that would be one a day. We haven't even had, it's more like two or three a day now. So our people, and that may not all be black people, but I will tell you the police are murdering people. 600. I will tell you the majority of them are going to be black and Hispanic that have been murdered. But what I'm saying to you is it is a epidemic, and that's where we find ourselves as black lawyers for justice, constantly having to fight the police brutality cases. We really aren't able to do too many other cases because these are the cases that keep happening. We come out of, you know, we came out of Ferguson, and then we had to go to Florida. I'm sorry, so many names, sometimes they escape me. Oh, Romaine Brisbane, the brother who was shot down with some McDonald's for his daughter. Do you remember him?
Yes.
shot down by the police. He's dead. Then we had to go from there to, was it Walter Scott or was it Fred? No, it was Eric Garner. Then we did a rally in New York behind the Eric Garner. And then right after Eric Garner, we dealt with, I believe it was Walter Scott and then Freddie Gray. I mean, it's just a never-ending. Then we had the nine murderers, and that's just what we can stay on top of, what we've been called to do. So we never get a break, sis. We never. There's no rest because we are at war.
Yes, we are at war. But I don't understand why the National Guard hasn't been called out, some type of military force, other countries intervening at the murders, because we have people in the military who go to other countries to help them, but none of them are helping the black people over here.
Right, because, and that's why one of the things I love about the nation, they said, get out of the military. Why in the world? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us not to go fight in their wars until we get justice at home. So since the very first Revolutionary War, we've been given our black bodies to help secure freedom, justice, and equality that we have never enjoyed, ever. So why would you go and present yourself as part of an Army, Navy, Air Force that is freeing people in the world, and you come back home and you get your people are being slaughtered? So it's crazy. It's hypocritical. We need to get out of the military. We need to have our own land and our own nation that we can defend, that's worthy of defending.
But, ma'am, I just have to say this. We had our own nation. We had our entire continent, Africa. And look what they did. Even though this is the modern time period, our ancestors, and my ancestors, are from Africa.
Right.
The whole continent.
The whole what?
Continent. We had our own place. We had our own land and things. So.
You're breaking up. I'm sorry.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
What I'm asking is, what I'm saying is, we had our own continent, Africa. You said we need our own land, all this and that. But we had that. Even though it was, we had an entire continent, Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't see what good it would do to have our own place again, our land and things again, when history, look at it, they came over there and got us. They kidnapped us.
Absolutely. But at that time, this is the thing that people don't realize. And this is going to go deeper into the teachings of the Nation of Islam, but it's all true. What people do not realize is that there was a point in time where you know about how as a black woman you can produce children of many shades. Is that correct? You could have a light-skinned, dark-skinned, middle-color child, right?
Yes.
That's correct, right? I'm going somewhere with this. Okay, so I know in my own family, all my children have a different complexion and they got the same dad. It's me and him, we pulling out all these different colors. The reason is because the white scientists have proven, and everybody knows that civilization and people started with the black woman. Nobody's debating that, okay? That's an actual fact. So what we know is that there was a time when they weren't even on the planet. There was a time when they were not even on the planet. And when they were birthed into existence, we did not understand their nature. So the Africans and the Native Americans, just think about it, and the Aborigines in Australia, when the white man came over from Europe, we did not understand their nature. And so we let them into our cultures, we let them into our towns and our cities, and they gave us a new religion, and they enslaved us and took all of our material resources. What did they do to the Native Americans? Was it the same pattern?
Yes.
Okay. Right, same pattern. So they went to Australia, the original Australians, the Aborigines, they took over their land, so they give us Jesus and take everything else. That is the history. That is the actual fact. So this time around, when we get free, we understand that there can't be any letting people in with open arms and then letting them take your culture and your people and rob you of all your material resources. But when you don't understand, because that type of stuff didn't happen on the planet. We traded, we had little feuds and stuff, but the type of slavery, cruelty, and murder that has been witnessed on the planet since they've come was never in existence before. But they don't teach you that type of history. But if you talk to people from Africa, they'll tell you there's countries in Africa where there are no prisons. Not one prison. Did you know that there weren't prisons in the United States of America until, like, the 1940s?
Okay.
Not prisons like you know them today. So we don't even understand what a society without prisons looks like. There wasn't even police officers. Police officers started off as slave catchers.
Okay. So there weren't prisons. Okay. I understand that. So... now, back to the murders of the nine people that were murdered. There have been a lot of black people murdered. Like you said, for 28 hours, somebody is murdered by the police, and they're usually black. My question would be, what can you do, the organization that you're under for black Attorneys for Justice, the NAACP, all these different groups, what can be done? I mean, we all know pretty much that prisons have been prisons have been privatized. We know that there's mass incarceration. We know there's murder going on. There are still places where they lynch also. So they lynch people.
Okay.
So what can we do, and what is your organization doing to help? But I have a caller. I think they want to say something. Hold on, please.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening.
Are you able to hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
All right. I certainly do appreciate you, Attorney Shep. I'm going to just say attorney. I don't want to get your name messed up. But
okay.
Attorney for the Black African American Lawyers Association, I was very moved when you called the gentleman or the person that murdered the nine African Americans in Carolina, a terrorist, because I have been calling him that forever, ever since he did it. But the point is, the Caucasian man refuses to acknowledge that he is a terrorist. And that is because if they acknowledge he is a terrorist, they will also have to acknowledge that the African American is a human being. And they are not ready to acknowledge that. We are still the two-thirds, as it was in slavery, in their eyes. So for them to say he's a terrorist means he killed a human being. And they do not acknowledge African Americans as human beings. You line 10 Caucasians up, and 9 of them are going to consider us still the two-thirds of a person.
Absolutely.
This is why we have all of these murdering of the African Americans by the Caucasians. Because when they look at us, they do not see a human being. And I don't care how much legislation you
right.
put on the book, you cannot legislate the heart of man.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
So until they reform and see me as a human being, as an equal, nothing is going to change. It doesn't matter if they wear body cameras or what they wear.
Right.
I have got to see you as a human being and treat you as such in order that I will not do bodily harm to you. If I look at you and see you as an animal, I am going to do harm to you because, hey, that's what you do to fierce animals, ferocious animals. Is that not?
That's right.
Yes.
And so that is the problem right there.
Yes, ma'am. May I respond to that? I just want to say, first of all, she's correct, and that is why, caller, I didn't catch your name, but that's why I was saying I don't believe body cameras will make a difference, because the mind of white supremacy, which is what she just described so eloquently by saying they don't see us as human beings. But let me just add to what she's saying. They see us as less than animals, because I know personally that they take great care. When a wild animal escapes the zoo, they take great care to preserve the life of that animal. They shoot the animal with tranquilizer guns. They cordon the animal off. They throw nets at. They do whatever they can to preserve the life of that animal. I'm saying they treat us less than animals. Right. I'm saying even with beasts, though. I mean, if a lion escapes from that zoo, they're going to try not to kill that lion. What I'm saying to you is they look at us as even less than an animal or a beast. We are less than that. They treated their horses and cattle in slavery better than they treated us. And to this day, a dog has just as much rights as a black man, or maybe even more. So I'm saying to you, I agree with you. I'm taking it even a step further and saying that the animal will get better treatment from the white man. They love their pets. Come on now, we know. They love their animals.
And I didn't become aware of that myself until Michael Vick. Until they did that to Michael Vick.
Exactly. Michael Vick's a perfect example. And the young brother who was defending himself from a police dog, he killed the dog. He's up on murder charges. So
there's another question I want to ask you concerning your organization.
Okay, yes, ma'am.
What have you accomplished
go ahead. I'm sorry. I did not mean to interrupt you. Please finish.
What have you accomplished so far, I would say, in the last 6 years as far as African Americans being murdered and terrorized?
I would say that I haven't been with Black Lawyers for Justice for 6 years, so I can only speak to myself joining Black Lawyers for Justice. And to be honest with you, the founder of Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, was the head of the new Black Panther Party for 12 years, I believe. So he stepped down in 2013 when I came. Now, he had formed Black Lawyers for Justice in 1996. But he had been so busy working for justice for the black man and woman in the new Black Panther Party that he had not really devoted his time to being an attorney. So in 2013 is when he stepped down from being the chairman of the new Black Panther Party and focused on Black Lawyers for Justice. So if you don't mind, I can only speak about the last 2 years, because that's when we've really taken up the mantle of Black Lawyers for Justice. Now, here's what we've done. What we've done, number one, is assembled a national team of black attorneys in different states, so that when people go to our website or call us and they have an issue, now they know where they can find a black conscious attorney who's willing to fight for them. We are dedicated to fighting civil rights cases, which a lot of attorneys won't even take. So that's number two. So you have conscious attorneys, a network, so that we can better serve our people. Number two, you have people who specialize in civil rights cases, which are underrepresented by attorneys. Number three, we wrote a book called What Black People Need to Know When Dealing with the Police. Why do we need a special booklet? Because we get treated special, and that's in quotations. Am I right?
Yes.
We get 100%. Treated, right. So we have a booklet that we distribute to our community. Can we personally stop a white officer who is given immunity by law to kill a black man? No, we cannot. So I wouldn't even get on this phone and try to make it seem like we can stop them from killing us. No one's been able to stop them from killing us for the last 460 years. But what for those who have been killed, we do not allow their killings to be swept under the rug. So when we went to Baltimore, it was so much pressure put on the prosecutor and the mayor that they had to indict. So what we do, we don't just go in and take the case. We organize the community. We put on marches. We put on town halls. We're activist attorneys. So now everybody has to talk about police brutality. 2 years ago, people weren't talking about police brutality like this. So if you didn't have Black Lawyers for Justice, if you didn't have these other groups, Black Lives Matters and others, constantly keeping the focus on police brutality. So now you have President Barack Obama saying we need body cameras. He wouldn't be talking any of that, even though we know that's not going to work. But I'm saying it wouldn't even be on the agenda. You wouldn't have presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton talking about, yeah, we need to do something about police brutality. They're only responding to the pressure from the people, the grassroots people in the communities, which is who we connect with. We don't go in and connect with the mayor and the governor. We go right to the people.
Okay.
You have answered so very well. I have a better understanding of what you do because until I heard you speak, Morris Deeds was the only attorney that I knew of, which he's Caucasian,
okay,
that takes on civil rights issues. He's in Montgomery.
You're
and
from
I
Montgomery,
am
Alabama?
On that, ma'am?
Yeah, you're from Montgomery, Alabama?
No, ma'am. I attend, go there quite often because I'm on the Wall of Tolerance there in Montgomery.
Okay.
Whenever it was unveiled, I was present there.
Okay, wonderful.
And my third cousin, James Meredith, his name is there also.
And
I come from a long line of civil rights fighters.
Wonderful. Well, we appreciate you and we honor your service to the Black community. I mean, that's who we – she would be an example, Ms. Butler, of who we – if we were to come into a city, we would want to sit down with her. We wouldn't want
okay.
to sit down with the police chief and the mayor. No, we want to talk to her because we know that she's been in the community – she's working. She knows her community. We don't know all of the community, so we go in with the local activists and we say, what's the real problem here? And then they tell us, well, yeah, Walter Scott got killed, but they've been doing this and this and that. They've been having this Confederate flag. We got – then they bring us all the people who have had run-ins with the police. So we get an accurate picture of what's really going on in these communities and what's actually needed. So we're not the politically correct lawyers. We're not the ones, when we come in, the white media is going to attack us. It's an absolute fact. So, but
don't they just make you sick, the media concerning the terrorist murders that happened in South Carolina? They're just concentrating on how well behaved the African American families were. Like, you know, you're 5 year old sitting on a bench at school and you're very well behaved. It's sickening and disgusting.
I agree.
I stopped watching it.
I agree. It's almost embarrassing. It really is. I mean, when you're a wide awake person and you see your people, now this man hadn't even asked for forgiveness. He hadn't even said he was sorry.
That's because he didn't feel that he did anything wrong.
Right. So you're not – how can you forgive somebody that ain't even asked to be forgiven? And if he could go back and do it again, he would do it even better. When a young Black man who could have survived had he known the nature of who he was dealing with. And see, that's the problem with our people. We think that we don't understand what we're dealing with. So you think talking to this man, okay, you need to put the gun down, stop killing, and he shot you while you were trying to reason with him. There's no reasoning with certain things. I mean, so for nine people, Black people, to be shot by one 90-pound white boy and give him five opportunities to reload his gun, it has been, we are so sick in the mind and in love with our enemy that we actually think talking to him is going to make him stop killing when if we had guts and we understood that this man is a murderer and has no conscience, maybe one of them would have, one or two may have died, but the rest could have rushed him, right?
Exactly, because you have to see him, see these Caucasian men as what they are. They are spun from Satan. So there's no good in them. They can't be good even if they wanted to. It's just not in them. My brother used to call it the can't help it. In other words, she would say they got the can't help it. They can't help what they are. You can't get something perfect from something imperfect. So if you spawn from Satan, you're filled with evil.
Exactly. And that because our people don't know the nature of the people they're dealing with, they keep trying to appease and talk to and pray with and sing with, and they're deceived. And, you know, it says my people are deceived for a lack of knowledge. And Jesus
exactly.
said, I know you. You are of your father, Satan. If you were not that, you would be with me. So there are, and he's talking to, and I'm dealing with the mindset, because what we've seen and what we've been taught is that if you come up under that and you accept those teachings, you also become an enemy to your people. And that's why you have this black-on-black phenomenon, and you got these black apologists that are constantly making excuses for this wicked transgression upon their people and saying, oh, we shall overcome. And they basically keep black people in line. So we had to go back to South Carolina because there was an agreement made with the whites and the preachers and the politicians there to say, we're just going to forgive and we're just going to pray and we're all going to show how great South Carolina is, when really it's a very wicked, wicked, wicked place for black people to live. And so we had to go down there and talk to the real people and say, hey, why are you saying... So that's why Attorney Shabazz gets a bad rap, because he says, no, we shall not overcome. We need to overrun. I mean, he says, you should defend yourself. You need to defend yourself. Self-defense.
Exactly. And when I hear other African Americans saying things like, we really have to change their minds about how they feel about us, I don't care if they never change their minds. I don't feel that I owe them the time of day. I'm going to be me. I'm not going to try and change your mind. That is not my job, to try and change a person's mind.
No.
I'm going to live in a way that they may want to live the way I live. But am I going to go out there putting on airs and doing things to make you think that I'm some special person and that I will bow down to you? No. And when I hear other African Americans saying things like that, I just, my blood boils.
Yes.
Why do you feel it's your job to change their mind? Why do you feel that this is my job to change their minds about how they feel about me? I've got to do this and I've got to do that. All you need to do is be yourself and treat everyone the way you want to be treated, and be forever vigilant. That's all you need to do.
I like it.
Yes, I agree with her. I just want to say that the privatization of the criminal justice system, the prisons, someone pointed out to me that they have people who are incarcerated, which majority are black, and some Latinos, Mexicans, Spanish. Majority of them, because they work for companies, some corporations, and they work for these corporate businesses. But when they get out of prison and they apply for the job there, they say they can't hire them because they have a record. And that's evil. That is evil. And not having full voting rights here in Florida, I mean, it's all wrong.
Yes,
that's something I wanted to ask you. What would you be able, or would you be able to get this law that our king and his court has put into effect, if you are a convicted felon although you've paid your debt to society, you still have that ball and chain around your ankles for as long as you live in the state of Florida. Your rights are not restored. And one attorney, he's a Caucasian attorney, he advised last Sunday night, I was watching the law show, that since they couldn't get a job, the convicted felons, to start their own business. And I'm thinking, start your own business? That's taxation without representation. You've got to pay taxes here in Florida, but you're not represented by your government.
Yes, that's true.
So I personally look at it this way. If I were in their shoes, I would make like a tree. I would leave the state of Florida and find a state where I could be represented.
Well, the problem
I'm not going to live somewhere and pay taxes where I'm not able to vote.
Well, the problem is that a lot of states have that felony bar to voting, and that's by design because they knew that it's all a game. And they knew that our numbers were going to, we were going to wipe them out by sheer birth record, okay? The blacks and the Hispanics are having more babies. The white birth rate is at zero. So there were predictions way back in 1990 that by 2015, blacks and Hispanics would be the majority. So if you're in power and you know that you live in a democratic society and by sheer numbers, black people and Hispanic people would take over because they have more votes. What would you do if you don't want them to have that power? So here's what they did. One, of course, they started making more laws and taking us straight from the school-to-prison pipeline was instituted. The three strikes and you're out was instituted. The war on drugs was instituted. So these are systematic systems, but they were systems that were put in place to railroad us into the prison system, knowing that as you're making these things felonies, when they get out, it doesn't matter that their population is increasing because we are disenfranchising the men to where they can't vote, so it don't matter. So this is how they nip the population problem in the bud, not to mention the redistricting of precincts and things like that. So they gerrymander, meaning they change the boundaries so that the black votes and the Hispanic votes are diluted. So it's all, they were never going to just lay down and let us overcome them by sheer numbers, which is what we have done in terms of birth rate. So they are making sure that even though there's more of us, we have less voting power. And then the wickedness of, like you said, they're in prison. They're working for a dollar a day. If they're basically slaves. If I give you a job coming out doing the same job, then you're not going to go back to prison. So I can pay you a dollar a day in prison, but if I pay you on the outside, I might have to pay you $60,000 a year for that job. So I'm going to make sure that me and all my buddies, none of us will actually give you a job, hoping that you'll go back to crime, and then you can come right back to me, and I can keep working you for a dollar a day. So there's no incentive. Why would they give? They're never going to give you a job because they got to keep the funnel going into prison. So I agree with the white attorney, but on the taxation without representation, we're not represented as a people anyway in the government.
No, that's what I say it is.
Yeah, you're right, but I'm saying, so even the felons, of course, they have it worse, but there are a couple things. Some of the states do allow you to get your record expunged. There are, I don't know about Florida, I would have to look that up, but there are processes where you can get your records expunged. I know that there is a black judge that sponsors these expungement seminars in all of the major cities. I don't know if there's one in Florida, but you can get some. There have been convicted felons who've got their records expunged and they get a fresh start. But I like the idea of doing for self because that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us in the nation. You cannot depend on them for a job. And once they've taken away your rights, they're not going to hire you. You're going to have to do for self. So even though you may still have to pay taxes with a business, you know, I own a business, you can write off a lot of stuff. You can almost, that's how white people get out of paying taxes, is through businesses. So actually what the white attorney is saying is actually a better method for them to go. And the other thing is, what we have to grow up into is understanding that there are white people who do not have or subscribe to that white supremacist mentality that God will make help us. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so I don't categorically deal with individuals. I'm dealing with an institution and a mindset of white supremacy that I have seen on both sides on the color. Because when we go in to cities, our toughest...
Can I please say something?
Okay, I just want to finish this one point. Some of our toughest opposition is the black preachers and the black politicians. I'm just being honest.
Well, I figured the pastors would be. Now, that I pretty much figured.
Right. So I'm not saying, but you understand what I'm saying. There are, for example, the Innocence Project. It's a group of lawyers who all they do is try to get people in prison, mainly black people who are in there. They use DNA evidence to get these people out, right? It's called the Innocence Project.
Yes, I've been trying to get them on the show.
Exactly. So that's white and black people are just like, this is so wrong, what's been happening to these people, we're going to help them. So when I'm only saying what's true, you know, there are those who actually can do their part, and there is a job for them to do. There is a job that they have to do to help and correct some of the things that their ancestors have done. And we pretty much stay in your lane, do your thing, help with your people, get them straight, and we need to be over here getting our people straight.
Yes. Okay, well, the Innocent Project, like I said, I've been trying to get them to come on my show. But back to about with the voting, if you can't vote, you really cannot sit on a jury either.
Right.
So yep. You're really not getting a trial by your peers. If you want to hear the truth, they're not getting a trial by the peers. They're only mostly white juries. And that's another reason so many black men and women are in prison.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that I wrote one of my papers on. And it's called, well, first of all, black people that can vote are routinely excluded from jury duty. And it's illegal to exclude someone based on race, but it's done all the time because attorneys get a certain amount of, and the term is going to escape me right now, but they get a certain amount of people that they can just strike from the jury without cause, right? So when they need 12 or 13 people and they got six black people, they're going to strike them, and they're just immediately if it's a black defendant. So what happens is time after time, and this is one area where as an attorney I would really, really like to focus my energies, because what I know is that we've never had trials of our peers. Maybe OJ got one, and he got off. And so, and I don't think it's because he had a trial of his peers. He had people sitting there saying, we know the cops make up evidence. We know that a black man is presumed guilty until innocent. So, yeah, half the time, if you actually had real black people on the jury, our people wouldn't get railroaded like they do. Because, I mean, some of our people in prison with no evidence at all on them, and they're in prison. Because the white jury is looking at a black man as though he's guilty until proven innocent. They can't even help it. They've done studies called implicit bias, and there's white judges who wrote on this and said they've done the tests, and when they see a black defendant, they automatically assume he's guilty. This is white people bearing witness in law review articles. So, but when we say it, we get labeled as being racist and all this and divisive.
I'm playing the race card is what they normally call. You're playing the race card. But the race card, that's another thing. I like to call it systematic, consistent racism is also the really big, it's consistent. It's on the job. It's in education. It's everywhere. You've got all these people in prison, then you got all these black kids and in these juvenile camps, like Martin Anderson from Panama City, Florida. I mean, in these juvenile detention camps, and then they suspend them from school. And I mean, it's horrible.
It is horrible.
And that's not counting the people who are on probation.
Absolutely.
Criminal justice.
And this is why, and, you know, now this is me talking from the spiritual perspective in what we're taught. I will say this, sister. When a system is this corrupt and they're oppressing us on all ends, there comes a time when, you know, you have to separate. If two people cannot get on, it's like being in a relationship. We're like the abused woman in the relationship with white folks. And we keep making excuses, we keep staying, we keep hoping it's going to get better, when really maybe we need to separate. That don't mean that we wish any harm on them and let them mind their own business, we mind our own business. But there comes a time when you realize, and this is what black people are waking up to, and this is why I encourage all of you, all that are listening, to come to D.C. on 10-10-15 for the Justice or Else March. We are telling the government and the United States of America that we will have justice or else. And what is the or else? Minister Farrakhan is going to get more deeper into it, but I'm telling you, people from all walks of life are already on board. We got the Indian nations coming together with us. We got Pastor Jamal Bryan and those on the East Coast, the Christian pastors, Reverend Willie Wilson, with us. We got Black Lives Matter. We have people from all walks of life saying, we come into D.C., we want justice or else we may have to separate because we cannot live together in peace. We cannot allow our children and our grandchildren to keep fighting these same battles that we fight. Maybe we just ain't ever going to get, they're never going to change. Maybe we need to go for ourselves. And that's not being racist, that's just being real. And so I would encourage people to also visit our website, which is www.blfjustice.org, or you can just type in Black Lawyers for Justice. And, you know, I'm just saying that these are things that are happening in our lifetime, and we need to make a decision as either we're going to keep begging and punking out and being cowards and hoping and praying that they will reason with us, or we have to be prepared to go and do for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I would rather, you know, go and do for myself and make a new reality for my children and grandchildren rather than continue to beg like Lazarus from the master's table for a crumb of justice, for a crumb of equality, for a crumb of recognition of our humanity. They are never going to respect Lazarus. You got to get up and get your own table. And that's where we're at right now.
Yes. Now, do you have any branches here in Florida? I mean, I believe you're throughout the entire United States of America. Am I correct?
We're headquartered out of Washington, D.C. We have, you know, it's a network of attorneys. We've been in Florida. We were in Miami maybe 4 or 5 months ago. But, yes, we do have lawyers that work out of Florida. One of our attorneys, Greg Latimer, is licensed in Florida. So in terms of actual office or anything like that, we don't have an office in Florida. But we, if you call the number to Black Lawyers for Justice, which is 202-607-3733 or 202-607-FREE, F-R-E-E, you will be able to reach myself. And if you have a case, I can send it to one of our attorneys. That's not a problem. So, but yes, if you wanted us to come down and speak or do workshops or do some organizing, then, you know, you could also call that number as well. And we go everywhere. Wherever there's a need, we'll come.
Okay. All right. So, like I said, like I was saying here, is that they're not counting the juvenile justice system when they include the incarceration rate. They're only counting those who are 18 and over. There's really more people than that in the criminal justice system. They're not really counting the people on probation either.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's an epidemic. It's no doubt it's an epidemic. And
yes,
we all have a different part to do. Like, as lawyers, as black lawyers, we have a responsibility to zealously represent our people and educate them about the law and push to get it changed while we're here. Okay, while we're here trying to work in this system, our people still need somebody to fight for them, right? I mean, we know it's unjust. We know the cards are stacked against us, and that's why a lot of black attorneys don't even want to be bothered, because they know it's stacked against us.
And what makes it so bad, they're still lynching people. I had a lady last year on my show. Her last name was Ms. Ross, and her nephew, Jermaine Carter, is there, but they're trying to say he killed himself. So, I mean, it's horrible. It's not just the police. I mean, they're killing people, lynching any way they can. And I'll say this again, I don't understand why President Obama has not sent out some branch of military into each county and state to protect the black people. And they're now the black men and women fighting the war. All the countries, but none of the countries will be
aid of
you're
that. Really got a lot of echo.
America.
I'm sorry.
I apologize. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You didn't understand why President Barack Obama hadn't brought in the National Guard to stop the killings of black people?
Some type of military branch, because there are black men and women in the United States military of every branch. I don't understand why they haven't sent out some form of military branch into the states and towns and cities to protect the black people.
Okay, well, let's talk about the National Guard, because they brought the National Guard into Ferguson, but it wasn't really to protect the black people.
No, it wasn't.
The thing is, you still have all of the police, let's just be honest, the police is a military force at this point. They're outfitted like the military. They treat us like they are at war with us. They don't serve and protect. They seek and destroy, okay? So you have bringing in the National Guard, and unfortunately sometimes it's the black police officers that look at Baltimore that are just as unjust, because they're trying to prove a point to their white counterparts. So the sad part about, you know, Freddie Gray is that a few of those officers were black. That severed his spine. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, when they're under the control of the military, whether they be black or white, National Guard, regular police, they are in opposition to the people. So they got to come out of that. So calling in the military and the National Guard, they might be coming and saying they're protecting the people, but really they are an occupying force. And we go in, and Attorney Shabazz talks about self-policing and community policing, and they get the men together and they say, this is how you police your own community. Stop calling the police, because I believe there was a recent case where a black man called the police to get some protection, and he was actually shot 12 times by the police. So it's dangerous to even call the police for help.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that's here and everywhere else.
Right. So we just, and I understand the frustration. It's like, can somebody please come in and save us? And, you know, I can only tell you, sis, and I don't know your religious background or anything like that, but I come from the Bible and the Holy Quran, and I say that when God said he heard the cry of the people, and he came down to see whether the cry was altogether what he had heard. You recall that?
Yes.
You know what scripture I'm referring to?
Yes, I do, ma'am.
And so what I'm saying to you is that when God was talking to Abraham, he said, know of a surety, Abraham, that your people will be a stranger in a strange land for over 400 years, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them. But then, after 400 years, I will come, and I will make them my people. Okay? So, if God came to every other people who suffered like this, why would he ignore the black man? suffering in America. I don't believe in a God like that because
Black
that's not
just. Children too. It's the children too. Because sometimes children, the little children, have to be taken care of by their grandparents because both mother and dad are in prison.
Right.
The children.
Right. But I'm saying we're the people of Abraham, and we've been so lied to. We don't understand that that scripture is about us. There's no one, nowhere we can go. There's no one that can save us totally, but God himself is what I'm saying, sis.
Yes,
and,
okay.
And the reason I'm saying that is because if we go back to Africa right now, Africa is controlled by Europe and other colonizations. They don't own anything. They barely have any freedom. Their biggest commodity in Africa is skin bleaching cream. They have been infected with white supremacy. You can't go to Australia. You can't even go to the North Pole. There's no place for the black man and woman to go. We have no helper. If you go over to China, they ridicule the black man. Everywhere we go on this planet, we are the despised and the rejected, which are written of in the Bible. And the thing that that pains me about the way the Christian preachers are teaching our people, they don't teach that's us in the Bible that are to be freed by God and the beloved of God. And so what I'm saying is we do the work that we have to do, but know that God is with us and he has heard our cries and we will be free. And that's what I take heart in, but we're not going to get free without any bloodshed. Let me just say that. No people have ever gotten free without the shedding of blood, unfortunately.
Okay.
Historically, if anyone can show me where a whole people have gotten free by marching, then, you know, I will bow to that truth. But there's nowhere in history where that's ever happened.
Okay. I just got one thing. Dr. Martin Luther King, Ms. Rosa Parks, Ms. Coretta Scott King, boycott. Do you think it would help here in the United States of America's black people boycotting? Because from my understanding, I hope I'm not wrong, we spend close to $1 trillion here in this country. We only make up, 12 or 13% of the American population.
Yes, boycotting them. We are calling for a boycott for after Thanksgiving all the way through Christmas. We have got to stop giving our money to our open enemy and for their families to become richer and richer. First of all, you already know Thanksgiving is based on the slaughter of the Native American people. We need to stop that anyway. Those are our brothers and sisters. Number two, the celebration of Christmas has almost absolutely nothing to do with Jesus nor his actual birth date. It has to do with Nimrod and the paganism, which is actually, it's forbidden in the Bible to cut down a tree. And I'm coming from the Christian. It says clearly in the Bible, do not cut down trees and decorate them and put them in your houses. So all of it is really satanic, but our people don't understand that. And so we spend all of our money during these times, we go into debt, really in rebellion to God. We drinking, we smoking, we overeating, we doing all kinds of horrible stuff that God wouldn't want us to do anyway. So we're asking for our people to hold their money because that the only two things that they respect is money and death. That's it. So you got to withhold your money, and at some point we have to answer their slaughter on us because if they had to suffer the losses that we suffered, they would stop killing us. That's the truth. The reason they don't go back into Vietnam, why don't they go back in Vietnam? Why don't they mess with China? They don't like Chinese people. You know why they don't mess with them? Because the Chinamen said, I will die rather than let you come in and take my country. So they drove those kamikaze planes. They were suicide bombers right in America. They were willing to die for their freedom, and they took plenty of lives with them. So they don't mess with China. They don't care what China do. They ain't messing with China. They ain't going to mess with Vietnam because they lost too many lives. So they only respect two things, money and death. And that needs to be our response, unfortunately. See, so when you talk like that, you're not going to be loved by the media and the mainstream and the pastors and all of that, unfortunately. So,
well, I have to look at it like this. They hated Jesus first before they hated me.
That's right. That's right. And if you're with him, you will not be loved by this world. Now, remember, too, they don't want to really give Jesus who he really was, which is a revolutionary, because a revolutionary comes to set down certain oppressive governments and change the whole structure. And that's what Jesus was doing. And when they said he was coming back, how did they say he was coming back? They said he's coming back with a sword dripping with blood. They didn't say he was coming back with a I have a dream speech. They didn't say he was coming back with an agreement and a covenant with America. They said he's coming back with a sword dripping with blood. Why? Because all throughout the biblical history, God kills and destroys. Now you got America looking just like Sodom and Gomorrah. What was God's response to Sodom and Gomorrah? I mean, did he wipe them out?
Turn his nostrils.
Did he wipe them out? And nothing can even grow there to this day. America's 10 times worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well.
So, I mean, there's a lot to think about. It's very much to go into one
issue. Hello, I got disconnected. I apologize.
All right. Please continue.
Okay, I was just saying that there's a lot to go into. I would encourage you all to, like I said, get prepared to go to D.C., you know, and if you want to bring Black Lawyers for Justice in, you know, just give me a call. I've given my number. And so just, you know, just help us, support us in the struggle as we are trying to support our people.
Okay. All right, now how can people get in touch with you again? Would you give your information out again, please?
Yes. The easiest way would be to, my phone number is 202, the number to Black Lawyers for Justice, and my phone number for Black Lawyers for Justice is 202-607-3733. That's 202-607-3733. You can also find it on our website at www.b, as in black, L as in lawyers, F4, justice, JUSTICE.org. So it's www.blfjustice.org. You can find me on Facebook and Twitter under Hassane Muhammad, Hassane Muhammad, Muhammad. You can find Attorney Shabazz at Malik Shabazz on Facebook and on Twitter. That's pretty much, hopefully, one of those ways you can get in contact with us. So
okay. All right. Callers, anything else you'd like to say?
I have been very well informed. Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Okay. So I have one more question. It's my final question.
Okay.
What do you suggest people do when they're stopped by the police officer to try to keep from being murdered?
Okay, and I'm so glad you asked me that question. Okay, number one, try to ride clean. That's number one. Try to ride clean. Try not to give them any reason to stop you in the first place, because as you know, they don't really need a reason to kill us. They seeking to kill you. Okay, that's number one. So we got to clean ourselves up. We got to clean up our act, get the drugs, the illegal guns, whatever you got in your car, get it out. Get your title right, get your plates right. If you don't have a license, you got to have your girlfriend drive you, then do that, okay? Because I don't want them to have an excuse and an actual justification to put you in jail, okay? That's number one. Get clean as you can. Number two, when the cops stop you.
And your registration. Got the registration.
Your registration, get it, be clean as possible so everything checks out. I want you to frustrate them to where, you know, they got to make up something, because what's happening is, you know, we're making it so easy because we don't handle our responsibilities. We got warrants, we got this, we got that, and then they got justification to stop you, and then you got to lie, and then, you know, it becomes you're losing your moral ground because we riding dirty. So stay clean or get clean. As clean as you can. Number two, when you get pulled over by the police, as they're walking up to the car, I will tell you, I say a prayer. Because, again, there is a higher power that we need to call on more often as a people. So I say your prayer. That's number two. That's unorthodox, but that's what you need to do. Number three, when they get to the car, maintain your manners and your civility, but you don't have to bow and scrape and kiss butt. Just, you know, off, license to register, give it to them. Don't offer any other additional information. Don't make any other statements. Don't get angry and irate right out the gate, because the number one reason is because they can use all of that against you in a court of law, okay? So don't answer short and succinct. Give them what they need. Don't give them anything else. That would be my third. Short, succinct, yes, no, here it is, thank you, bye. Don't say nothing else. Don't offer none. Don't say, oh, I was just going, nothing. Be very short and succinct with your answers. And the last thing I'm going to say, and I've said this to you, my own son, if it becomes to where it's an altercation with the police, you feel your life is in danger, you need to defend yourself and fight to the death. You have every right to defend yourself against the police. So this is the type of what black people need to know in dealing with the police that we have to give at this time that we live in, because you're not going to be able to depend on them to have mercy on you. If you feel like your life is in danger, defend yourself, run, whatever you have to do to preserve your life, and then call us and we'll try to defend you, but at least you can live to tell the story. So that would be my advice for a stop by the police. I will pray that it didn't go that far, but if it's between you and him and you fighting and he's trying to kill you, you need to defend yourself.
Yes. I understand that. Okay. And you're having a boycott from Thanksgiving to Christmas. No spending? Is that what you said?
No spending with them whatsoever. And start telling your children now. Start explaining to them. Babies, they killing us. We don't have no freedom. They trying to use your bodies for their prison to pipeline. Your children will understand. They will understand.
Through the prison pipeline, okay.
Yes, yes. Teach your children, because we got to start making our children into conscious warriors too. They will understand. They're young. They're like, why do they hate us? Why? Explain to them. This is your teaching moment, and you know we need to start bringing our generation into the reality that they're faced with,
and that we're at war.
And that we're at war, yes, ma'am. And so who in the world is at war and goes and gives the enemy all their money? Nobody does that. That's sane, except us. So that's my point. Until we acknowledge and accept the fact that we are at war, we will continue to try to put our heads in the sand, give them all our money, keep begging them when they're saying, you niggas don't understand, do you? We are going to keep killing y'all no matter what y'all do.
Okay, in Washington, D.C., you're having a rally. Am I right? A big event. What name was that?
No, there's a huge, it's a 20-year anniversary of the Million Man March. I don't know if you all remember the Million Man March 20 years ago in 1995. It's a 20-year anniversary, but this time the theme is Justice or Else. It's October 10th, 2015. That's the whole, I don't know, the whole black, Native American, Latino community is coming to D.C. So I'd encourage people to get their hotels and all that stuff now, because it's going to be huge. But we at Black Lawyers for Justice, we're having another summit in Charleston, June 18th, 19th, and 20th. Let me just double check that. Yeah, so that's going on in Charleston, and there's another thing in August. So if you go to our website, we're going to update some of the upcoming things that we're doing at Black Lawyers for Justice. So there's a lot of things going on in the black community right now. And like I said, if you plan something in your area or with your group or organization, we will be happy to come down and help or speak to justice issues. So.
Okay. All right, then. Well, I guess that concludes all my questions. Thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. I know I'm going to pronounce it wrong.
Hassani.
Miss Hassani, I thank you. And I thank Mr. Shabazz, too.
Oh, no problem. And I'll try to get him on the next time, Miss Butler, okay?
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a blessed day.
Okay. All right, everyone. Thank you, ma'am. All right, everyone. You've been listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. You've got a lot of information. I apologize about the technical difficulties. It could not be helped. Computers, things are man-made, so forgive me for interruptions and things, technical problems. Everybody, you heard what she said. Thanksgiving, Christmas of this year, no spending. There's a 20-year anniversary for the million in March. So let's get it together. I heard people were telling us. All right, everyone. Have a good night, and I look forward to you next week. Good night, everyone.